Last week, Saturday, we started off discussing on the topic explaining trials, temptations, and persecutions, right? Or persecutions, trials, and temptations.
Okay. So, let us do a quick review of what we just looked at last week. From John chapter 1, from verse 1. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him was nothing made that is made. In Him is life, and the life is the light of men. Right? It says the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came to bear witness of that light.
This man came to bear witness of the light, that all through him may believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man that comes into the world.
Hallelujah.
He came to his own, verse 11, and his own did not receive him, knew him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the sons, the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us, and will beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he whom I said he would come after me. He's preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we all received grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. He said, no one has seen God at any time, the Holy Begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, we said, a quick one. Who said that verse 18 showed us that no one has seen God at any time. He said the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he said he has declared him, right? Hallelujah. Verse 14 showed us that the Word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. It became flesh. What word? How did he use the word Word? If you look at verse 1, right? Verse 1, it said, in the beginning was the Word. And we say that word is the word Logos, right? Right? And we said it is the reason behind, or the reason for an action. Now it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word is God. Hallelujah. You know? And very important, the Word is God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now what John now said to us is that Word was the prophet bore witness of the Word. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? He said, in him is light, and the light is the light of men. He said, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness is not comprehended. He said, there was a man sent by God, whose name was John. Right? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Said this man came to bear witness of the light, that all through him may believe. Say he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. Now, just like every other prophet will bear witness of what? Christ. Do you understand me? Every other prophet will do the same. Luke 24. Okay, before we get to Luke, let's look at where in John. John 5:39, he says, search the scriptures. He says, in them you think you have eternal life. He says, these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me. That is Luke. That is John 5:39-40. Verse 45 says, do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. He says, there is one who accuses you. He says, Moses in whom you trust. Say, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. Say, for he wrote of me. Did you see that? So Moses' writing will be concerning Christ. He will be a witness of Christ. Hallelujah. Now he uses the word witness in verses 39. He says, these are they which bear witness of me. Now that word witness is the word material. Material. It's the word that implies, you know, to testify of. Do you know what I mean? To speak of. Now, for the prophet, for the scriptures to speak of Christ, it shows you that he supersedes or he is before the prophet. Do you understand me? So it shows that the word is before the prophet. So that's why they can speak or testify of it. Do you understand me? Aha. Glory to God. So that is why before then, John had said, the word was in the beginning as God. You don't understand me? With God. Our word points to God. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? But that's why he would say that in John 1:1, in the beginning was the word was God, and the word was God. Hallelujah. If you look at, if you go to Luke 24, Jesus teaching his disciples, he said, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was there with you, that all things must indeed be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Do you understand me? Concerning me. Automatically, he will let you know, okay, verse 24, he said, verse 25, oh, who's still about to blame in all the prophets that spoken? He said, up not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory. Verse 27 said, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So, did you see that? So the prophet will do what? Will speak. Their words will be what? Concerning Christ. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. So the prophet will bear witness of the message of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 1, look at what Paul will now say. Look at what Paul will say. I want you to put your hand in Romans 1. Okay, Romans 1. Come in. Okay. Okay. Look at this. Acts of Apostles. While your hands is in Romans 1, look at Acts of Apostles chapter 13 verse 20-27. And put your hands in Romans 1. Look at what Paul would say. He says, Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, I'm reading Romans 1, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of Christ, which he promised before through his prophet in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son. Did you see that? Which he promised before through his prophet in the Holy Scriptures. Meaning, the prophet will be a witness of what? Of Christ, right? Are you seeing this? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, he says, which he promised before through his prophet in the Holy Scripture. Okay, let's put it this way. The prophet will bear witness of the promise of God. Right? Right? Okay. Verse 3 then tells us, he said, that promise, that witness that they bore was what? Concerning who? Jesus Christ. Right? Now, let's see something. Look at that. That Acts 13:27. He said, for those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled
them in condemning him. Now, what will now be the voices of the prophet?
The voices of the prophet will be what? The message concerning Christ. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So they will bear witness of the message of Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the incarnation, as John will now tell us in verse 14 of John 1, will now be what? What will now be the incarnation of Christ? Will now be how do you call it? Is it John will call it God, heaven and earth.
Yes.
Heaven and earth in the same place. That was what we said last week, right? The heaven and earth is will now be in the same place. And that was spoken of by Moses. Hallelujah. So that word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. And we said now we beheld the glory. Right? The glory of the only begotten of the Father is full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And it's, and we now said something in along this line last week. And we said that incarnation, right? Or Jesus in his incarnation will say, explain God to us. Explain the Father to us. How? Verses 18. He said, no one has seen God at any time, right? Right? Glory to God. So no one has seen God at any time. He said, the only begotten, who is in the bosom of the Father, right? He said, he has declared him. And we said that word to declare is the word exegumai or exegumai. Now let me use my Hebrew expression. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, exegumai. Exegumai is used for what to explaining what you are part of. Are you hearing me? Is a direct, you are giving an explanation of what you are part of. You are not giving a third party reporting, you are reporting yourself. Rather than, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we said, God is explained to us in Christ. So, I also said something like, there are certain events which in the Old Testament were seen as God, or as God doing it. But when you hear and see the actions of Christ, you would know if God was the one doing it. Well, that's what we said last week. Right? And we'll also look at the fact that Jesus died. Right? We saw that, right? The fact that Jesus died is a proof that God does not kill. Was that what we said? The fact that he died. So we said his actions. Or, should I use the word actions? Okay. What happened in Jesus' earthly ministry? What happened to him and what he said? From what he said and what are his actions? Let's still leave it as that. And his actions would tell us or would explain God to us. Was that what he said? Hallelujah. Why are we all quiet? Cool. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. So his actions and his word to explain God to us. I would say the major fact or the major fact that he died is a proof that God is not involved in that. In fact, men killed God. Right? Who killed him? Men. So men killed him. So, but we also saw the fact that in his death, he destroyed death. So he needed to die to kill death. Hallelujah. But him dying is a proof that he's not involved in it. In fact, we also saw that the first account of someone dying, someone being killed, was not God that killed. It was Cain that killed David. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's look at something. You know, there are some events around in the Old Testament that when you just, if you don't look at the explanations, from the epistles, you would get it all mixed up and thinking it was God that did it. But it was not it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Let's look at Matthew 10 verse 5. Let's see something. Matthew 10 verse 5 to 8. He says, these 12, Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Look at Jesus' instruction. You will still read them, but you can still read them. Provide neither gold nor silver. But let's stop here in verse 8. Hallelujah. Jesus is telling his disciples to go preach the gospel, right? And he told them to do what in verse 8? He said, heal the sick. Right? Heal the sick.
Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons.
You know, these words of Jesus is a proof that God is not the one who makes people fall sick. You know, there are some people who have that, they still have that belief. Maybe God is trying to humble me. That is why he made me fall sick. No. God is not the one making people fall sick. Do you understand that? God is not the one. Hallelujah. Let's go to the Old Testament and see something. Exodus chapter 15. Jesus healing the sick is a proof that God does not. Do you see that? God does not make people fall sick. Exodus 15. Verse 26. Hallelujah. Look at verse 26. It says, and he said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandment, and keep all his statutes. Look at the B part. He said, I will put none of the diseases on you, which I have brought on the Egyptians. So I am the Lord God who heals you. Did you see that? Did you see that? Exodus 15. You are in John. Exodus 15, 26. He says, I will put none of the diseases which I'll put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. So I am the Lord who heals you. Big, right? He uses the word, I am the Lord who heals you. Now what heals is the word, is the Hebrew word, Rapha. Rapha. It's a word that is used for a doctor or one who repairs. A doctor or one who repairs. In Genesis chapter 20, verse 17. So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servant. Then they bore children. Hallelujah. So, in Genesis 20:17, God healed Abimelech, right? In Genesis 50 verse 2, in Genesis 50 verse 2, that same word is used for a physician. He says, and Joseph commanded his servant, the physicians, to embalm his father. So the physicians embalmed Israel, which is Jacob. Not the whole Israel, but Jacob. Hallelujah. So it's used for one who, or a doctor, a physician, used for a physician. Look at Exodus chapter 21 verse 19. Exodus 21:19. He says, if he rises again and walks about outside, and his staff, and he who struck him shall be acquitted, for he shall only pay his loss of his time, and shall provide for him to be thoroughly healed. So it's useful what is thoroughly healed for one who is thoroughly healed. In 2 Kings 2 verse 22, is used for the water that was healed.
Rapha.
So that's what we've looked at. He's telling us God is the one who heals. Right? Right? Let's go back to that Exodus 15. So it tells us about God, that God is the one who heals. Hallelujah. So when Jesus is telling his disciples, go heal the sick. Are you listening to me? So it's God who heals. Right? God heals. Hallelujah. God heals. When a man is sick, God heals. Hallelujah. Now look at that verses 26 again. The B part. He said, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. So I'm the Lord who heals you. Now, listen to this. The verse now attributes the sicknesses. Listen. Now attributes the sicknesses or what came, the disease that came upon the Egyptian, now attributes it to God. Do you understand? That is what you would read if you read it as a bread, right? He attributes it to God. But take note, a doctor who heals does not make one sick. He heals. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, God cannot be the healer and again the giver of sickness. Do you understand? God cannot be the healer and the one that will cause another person to fall sick. Or he will not be both the healer and the one that causes you to fall sick or someone to fall sick. Did you get that? So you can't say God brought sickness on the Egyptians. No, you can't. Let's see what Jesus tells us about the character of the believer, which will mirror of the believer in the new birth, which will mirror or which will be like with it now. Is it mirror now? I wanted to use mirror. Okay, which should mirror?
I'm trying to mirror
okay. Is the lesser that the greater that will mirror the lesser, right? Okay, the lesser will mirror the greater. Let me know. Okay, so the character of the believer which will show forth the nature and the character of God. Look at Matthew 5:43. Look at what it says. It says, you have heard it has been said, you love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. Now, he's telling you about God's nature. Now, he said, he makes his sun rise on the evil and good, and sends his rain on the just and unjust. Did you get that? So, God can be the doer of evil and good. He can't be the one healing and the one making others fall sick. So Jesus just shows us the nature of God. Hallelujah. Did you see that in verse 45? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, that's God's nature. God cannot bring sickness and then heal. It will be a whole lot of confusion, don't you think so? Hallelujah. So, there is a translation issue here. Which we are going to find out shortly. Or the fact that there's a misconception about God in the Old Testament. Did you get that? And the two are not far from each other.
But actually, in this text, there's a translation issue. Hallelujah. It's a translation issue.
Look at that word, I will put. That word, I will put, is from the Greek, I say Greek, it's from the Hebrew word, som. S-O-O-M. S-O-O-M. Som.
That word I will put for the word sow is the word that implies to cast upon or to cast or to come upon. To cast or to come upon. So when you say I will put, it's not actually that I is not God. Do you understand me? It's not God putting anything. That word sow is the word to cast or to put. In fact, most times where that word is used in the Hebrew translation, is used for what one does. Do you understand me? So it's not God that actually does it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that word soul is used for, if I'm to correctly translate that verse well, you should read like this. None of the diseases which has come on the Egyptians will diseases which has come upon the Egyptians will come to you, for I am the Lord that healeth you. Do you understand that? So, God, being the doer of the sickness coming upon them, is actually not there. He's actually silent. He's not God. Do you understand? So, what Moses is communicating then is, none of the diseases which has come upon the Egyptians, will come upon you, because I am the Lord that heals you. Do you understand that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So God is the healer. God is the healer. But sir, it was, look at the story, it was Moses that made the fly to come. Calm down, just relax. Relax, relax. See, we are here together, relax. We are not running from each other, relax. Don't cast your mind to too many Bible story book you've watched. Calm down. Because I know you will not have the patience to read it. So it's Bible story you read, or they read it to you. But you know what it is yourself. If you are ready to yourself, you will not be thinking of, for Moses, I watch storybook. Storybook. When Moses just threw his own, you're supposed to say, again. Hey, calm down. If you are ready to yourself, you will not be. So, what is coming to your mind is too many flashes. Calm down, we'll look at it. It's just like also saying it was God that hardened the heart of Pharaoh. You know, people say, God, if God wants to deal with you, I've said that also before. If God wants to deal with a man, he will bring the man in contrast with the child of God. Hallelujah. So when the man comes against the child of God, he said, I'm quoting myself. He said, whosoever that shall touch this rock shall be destroyed. And whosoever he shall shed upon shall be grounded into powder. So, if you are looking for my trouble, you are dealing with yourself. If you are not retaliate, child of God, say you'll be grounded into powder. You see your life. Just by saying, it was God that hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Look at that same Exodus. We're in Exodus. We're in Exodus. Chapter 4, verse 1. Let me show you where it's impatient reading that makes a lot of people make mistakes. Look at Exodus 4 verse 1. Verse 21, sorry. Exodus 4 21. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand, but I will harden his heart, so that he will not let the people go. Right? I will. He's God. Calm down. He's impatient with you. Hallelujah. Remember when we were treating water baptism and communion and anointing oil. We saw where in John chapter 3, it was reported by John's disciples, the one whom you baptize is at the other side baptizing others. So if you just read chapter 3 of that John and stop in that verse, I guess that should be verse 25 or 26. And you'll say, Jesus baptized now. Why would you baptize with water? Jesus too was baptized with water. Are you not careful to read into chapter 4? Right? When you now get to chapter 4, you now discover that Jesus did not baptize us. Jesus' disciples that baptized. Do you understand? It was his disciples that baptized. So he was not the one that did that baptism. So you now calm down. Do you understand? It has a name in English. I'm not an Englishman. I'm an Igbo. So there's a figure of speech used for, let's say, you guys, we did something. I was not there, but because you are in room, they now say, Pastor Smart did it. Do you understand? Aha. Do you understand? So there's a figure of speech for that.
I know people now say, I know this. Hallelujah. Do you understand?
So there's a figure of speech for that. Hallelujah. Do you understand? So Jesus didn't baptize at all. Are you listening to that? So just like say, God said, they said, or it's written there, I will harden his heart. We're going to see what that means. If it was actually God that did so. So that God hardening the heart of Pharaoh is not God, but we see it now. Hallelujah. We see it now. It's not God. So that I will is silence. Hallelujah. Remember we said we read the Bible how? Together. Right?
Okay, let's see. Verse 21, right? Is that where we are? Okay. Okay. Look at chapter 7 again, verse 3. Verse 3 of chapter 7. Now it says, so I'll start from verse 1. So the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you as God to Pharaoh. When you hear the word as God, can you not see? That word as God is the word as judge. As judge. He uses
that word Elohim. Hallelujah.
So as judge to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. You shall speak all I commanded you, and Aaron your brother shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of the land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. Don't worry, we'll get to see the meaning of all this soon. So you are seeing his, I will. So he's looking at his, as if it's God that will, right? Look at verse 13 again. And Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, as the Lord said. As the Lord said. Listen. Is it God that hardened his heart there? It's giving you a report of something. Look at verse 14. Look at verse 14. And so the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let the people go. But I thought God said, I will harden his heart. Right? Aha. So, look at something. God is the one declaring now that Pharaoh's heart is hardened. Not God doing it. So, what God has said, what was said God said in chapter 3, I mean, where we've read chapter 4, chapter 7, verse 3, and verse 13, was not God hardening Pharaoh's heart, but God reporting the state of Pharaoh's heart. God was only reporting the fact that Pharaoh's heart will be hardened. Do you understand me? Not I will. So it's not God doing anything. Do you understand? We're going to see that shortly again. At that state of a man's heart being hardened, it's not God. Do you understand? It's the man's choice. And that's what we've just seen in verse 14. Look at verse 22. Then the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantment, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard. Is it God? It's not God. And Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, as the Lord had said. So it's not God. Even by reading Moses alone, you would know it's not God. Can you understand? Just sitting down to read Moses alone, just as it's not God, though. Do you understand? Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at 11 verse 10. So Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart and did not let the children of Israel go out of his hand. Now there's something you need to understand. If you get to read, and I'll say it like this now, but over the years we still have to explore on these similar topics, on things similar to this, and then we'll also revert back to this. In the Old Testament, you will see something. You will discover the fact that a lot of times, what was not God done by God was attributed to be done by God, even if it was not God that did it. That doesn't. So, a man of God will say something. I'm trying to think which of them, because the book I read, I'm trying to think if it is E.W. Kenyon or Kenneth Hagin, but it's a long time I read that book, and he will say something like, in the Old Testament, Satan, or there was this misconception. I'm trying to put the words rightly. There's this misconception, there is an identity issue most times in discovering whether Satan did something or it was God that did it. And Pastor Shedwin lately helped us see that, in the sense that Satan is veiled in man's action. We'll get to see that later on today. Do you understand? So because of the fact that Satan is veiled in man's actions, you find it hard to now, or it becomes difficult for the natural mind to see something and say it is Satan, because it's veiled in human character or human actions. So when things happen, they will just quickly attribute it to God. When there's a strange thing, it's like, God has done it. Do you understand? With that, because there is no revelation of, there's no 100% revelation of who Satan was in the Old Testament. Let me put it like that. There's no clear revelation of who Satan was. Clear revelation of who Satan was in the Old Testament. Not by the prophets now, but by those who are around. You understand? Because even, let's see something in chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 15. When Pharaoh saw that he was relieved, he hardened his heart. Did you see God there? So it's not God. He hardened his heart and did not heed them, as the Lord has said. So what you just find here is what as the Lord has said, meaning what God only did was to report beforehand to Moses that Pharaoh's heart will be hardened. Do you understand? Just I'm telling you, if you go and buy chewing gum, the man will not have change. I'm reporting it before it happened. Do you understand? That is what God has just done. He has reported to Moses for Pharaoh's heart to be hardened, not he hardening Pharaoh's heart. Hallelujah. Look at verses 19. He said, then the magicians said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart grew hard and did not heed them, just as the Lord had said. So, in every point you see Pharaoh hardened his heart is as the Lord has said. You find that also in verses 32, chapter 9, verse 34 and 35. Verse 34 of chapter 9. And Pharaoh saw the rain, the hail, and the thunder had ceased. He sinned yet more. Did you see that? He sinned yet more. And he hardened his heart and his servant. So the heart of Pharaoh was hard. Neither would he let the children of Israel go as the Lord has spoken by Moses. So, can you see that? That word to hard or to harden, the word harden of heart. We hear that word harden or his heart is hardened. Is a word that is used in relation to the message of God or to the gospel. We hear harden of heart. It's used in relation to the message of the gospel. It shows one's unbelief to the gospel. We're going to see something now. It shows one's unbelief to the gospel. So, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 15, Mark 16. That should be verse 14. It says, later he appeared to the 11 and sat at the table and rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart. Do you see that? He calls unbelief to the gospel hardness of heart. Why did he say unbelief? Because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Do you know what that means? They don't believe. So it's called hardness of heart. Hardness of heart is towards the gospel. Hallelujah. It is towards the gospel. In Matthew 19, verse 8, Jesus will say, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. That's the word sclerocardia. Because of the hardness of your heart. So, this implies that Pharaoh's hardness of heart is not different from what Jesus has spoken to us. So, Pharaoh's hardness of heart is in relation to the gospel. So it's implied that Pharaoh did not believe the gospel of Christ in the lips of Moses. That's the hardness. Do you understand that? He did not believe. We'll get to see that in one of our understanding the gospel series. That the message was preached in Egypt and Pharaoh did not believe. He didn't believe. Hallelujah. So that is why he was tagged, his heart was hardened. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 to 8, 15 and 19, the word hardness of heart is used in relation to unbelief towards the gospel. And it is man's choice. It is a choice. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized is saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. So it is a choice. So Pharaoh made his choice. God didn't make Pharaoh's heart harden, but Pharaoh made up his mind. Pharaoh's choice was unbelief towards the gospel. He saw the miracles, signs, and wonders, yet he did not believe. Hallelujah. Did you get that? He saw the miracles, signs, and wonders, and did not believe. Glory to God. Glory to God. So it is not God. Many a times what people have attributed to be God doing it is actually not God doing it. So, and we said, how do we know this? Christ has explained it to us, and we have the explanations as the epistles.
Right? Was that what we said last week? That's what we said. It has been explained to us. Right? I would say we can look at Christ's actions and his words without even looking at the epistles at all. Without going to the epistles, we can, from his words and actions, understand who God is. Just stay with his words. You understand? Hallelujah. But furthermore, the epistles now broke it down for us and explained scriptures to us. So, let me take that back and say it this way. Even without going to the epistles, you can look at the words of Christ and his actions, and you'll find explanations to events in the Old Testament without looking at the epistles. Are you hearing me? So, the epistles has now done that job for us. Hallelujah. In the fact that it has explained the Old Testament to us. That was what we said last week. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I can still stay with the words of Jesus and explain the Old Testament writings. And similarly too, we also saw the fact that in Jesus showed us or told us in Matthew chapter 6, where we read, Matthew 6, verses 11. I'll start from verse 9. He said, and in this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. He said, and forgive our debts. So we can forgive our debtors, right? Right? And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now he said in verse 13, he says, you do not lead us into temptation. It was not a plea. If Jesus was being absolute, Jesus has shown us that God doesn't lead us to temptation. It was not a plea. Oh Lord, don't lead us. No. We saw that last week, right? That Jesus was being absolute. Hallelujah. So, we said last week that God does not tempt a man. God isn't the one tempting man. Which James chapter 1 showed us, verse 13, James 1, 13. You see, and I told us, how did James know? Because Jesus has said it, right? James 1:13. He says, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. So God does not tempt. Let's do something quickly again. For those who were not around last week, so we'll be on the same page. We said that word temptation. The word temptation is from the Greek word perasmos. It implies a putting to proof. In verse 12 of that James 1, I say, blessed is the man who endures temptation. See, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord had promised to them that love him. Now what Pierasmos is used in verse 2, he said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations. Now, when you hear the word fall into, is the Greek word tiktito. It's a word that implies to come against. We'll get to see that shortly. The word that implies to come against. So,
He says, count it all joy when you come against diverse temptations, various trials. He said, knowing now, that word temptations is the word pirasmos, a proof, putting to proof, putting to test. He said, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Knowing that the testing of your faith, that word testing in verse 3 is the word dokimon. Dokimon. That was what you said. Dokimon. It means to prove what is inside. To prove what is inside. It's from the word dokimos. Or is from that word we have the word dokimos, which is to prove what is already there. So he said the testing of your faith produces patience. And we say patience is already there. Right? Galatians chapter 5. Patience is already there. So he brings it out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Was that what we said? Hallelujah. So, and we looked at the fact that in verses 12 into verses 15, James now intelligently brought in two kinds of temptations, right? He brought in the desire to sin and what? The persecution, right? And we said both of them should be viewed as what? Persecution. Because they are external to the believer. Was that what we said last week? Okay. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we can pick it up from there. So look at that verse 13. He says, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. That word evil is the word kakos in the Greek. Kakos. It is used for what is not good, that is what is bad. So he says, very important, that word kakos is used for what is evil or what is not good. Sorry, what is not good. When he said God cannot be tempted, that word cannot be tempted is the word apirastos. That is, he cannot be proven to be evil. Cannot be proven to be evil. God cannot be proven to be evil. He can be proven good, but not proven to be evil. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 9. So, God cannot be proven to be evil. No, not possible. Can only be proven to be good. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. Paul is admonition here. He says, let us not tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and they were destroyed by serpents. Not complain, as some of them complained, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. The same thing too, he, the writer of Hebrews, will write in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 9 also, Hebrews 3, 9. I'll start from verse 8. He said, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness. As in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your father tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. It shows that they tempted Christ in the wilderness. They tempted him in the wilderness. That's what Paul said. And that's what the writer of Hebrews said, they tempted him in the wilderness. How? Their unbelief was a temptation to who? To God. Listen, their unbelief. You see the strength of unbelief.
So, are you listening? So, they tempted him in the wilderness, but, okay, let me read it. They tempted him in the wilderness. And that temptation was their unbelief. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So their unbelief was a temptation to prove God's faithfulness. Was to prove God's faithfulness. Was their unbelief. What is inside? God is faithful. Hallelujah. Did you get that? To prove what is inside. What is inside? God is faithful. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Unbelief. And Paul in that chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians now went further to now highlight some of those things. Also said, let us not more complain. Say, believer should not be found complaining. It is a sign. Complain or murmuring is a sign of unbelief. So it should not be found among the believers. Glory to God. Let's go back to James. We're in verse 13, right? Chapter 1. It says, let no man say when I'm tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. So God does not bring temptation to a man. Say, God is trying to test me to see if I'm faithful. Keep quiet. We saw that of Abraham, right? That God was not the one that tempted Abraham. Hallelujah. We saw that last week, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now that we saw that it was Abraham proving to Isaac what God will do, in that he will raise Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. Do you understand? So it was not a, God will test your faith. I've heard that several times. God will test your faith. He will bring oppositions to see if you are really in Christ. He doesn't see you. He doesn't need to test you to know. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So God is not the one testing. And look at how James now skillfully do something here. When verse 13 said, neither does he himself tempt anyone, so God does not tempt anyone. So you see, erase that from your head. Erase it from your head. I was in a meeting where Pastor Shevu told us there are some things we need to erase from our head. Erase it. This is one of those things you have to erase from your head. That was early this year, yes. This is one of those things. Is God that's tempting me to see if I will be humble? God is trying to break me. Break me now, no Lord. Break me now, no Lord. Break me. Lord, break me that I may get to your kingdom. Break me now. And we will have me cry. Oh Lord, come and break me. No. Hallelujah. Look at verse 14. He said, but each one is tempted. He now draws in another. Listen, he's discussing persecution here in verse 12. And now he now brings in something else. Another level of temptation. Or did I say level? Another kind of temptation. Hallelujah. He says, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Verse 15. When desire has been conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. Then he now says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, comes from down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He tells you this is what God does. Hallelujah. So verse 16 is what God does. Hallelujah. That is, verse 16 is what God does.
Then, look at what he said in verse 14. He said, each man is tempted when he's drawn away. That word drawn away is the word exelko. E-X-E-L-K-O. Exelko. Each man is drawn away. Now he brings in another kind of temptation that is different from persecution, and that is the desire to sin. He said, each man is drawn away. Exelko is the word in Greek that implies to be taken out of your place or to drag something forth. To take one out of his place. To take or to be taken out of your place. To draw away. So that shows you that the idea of temptation is to drag you away from who you are. Drag you away from where you are. Just to take your mind away. To behave as who you are not. That's what it means. Hallelujah. He said, each man is drawn away. I mean, each one is tempted when he's drawn away. How? By someone else, by his own desire. I guess it's old King James that called it lust, right? Okay. By his own desire, his own lust. It's the word epithumia in the Greek. Epithumia. E-P-I. C-H-U-M-I-A, epithumia, is used for desires. Now, when you hear the word lust, you say, it's used for desires. Epithumia is used for desires. And it is used both negatively and positively. Desire, that word lust, is used both negatively and positively. Let's look at the positive. Luke 22, verse 15. Luke 22, verse 15. Positive. He says, then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Desire to eat. Hallelujah. In Philippians 1 verse 23. Philippians 1 verse 23. For I am hard pressed between two things, a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Hallelujah. In 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 7, it's used positively. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 7, it says, but we are gentle amongst you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. Verse 17, sorry. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavoring more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Positive, right? Negatively, Mark 4:19. John 8:44. Romans 1:24. Let's look at Romans 1:24. Romans 1 verse 24. It says, therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves. In the lust of their heart. Hallelujah. So when you hear the word, therefore God gave them up, it was not God giving them up. Hallelujah. We'll get to see that later. Like I said,
the wrath of God, right? And we say the wrath of God is God doing nothing, right? Right? The wrath of God is man's unbelief towards the gospel. And at that point, God is doing nothing in that situation. That is God's wrath, right? So when here God gave them up, it's actually God's wrath. God doing nothing. Do you know what that means? That is man's, God's wrath is actually man's independence outside God's power. Hallelujah. Man's independence. Do you know what that means? Aha. And in man's independence is man not depending on God. Do you know what I mean? And you know that is sin. Hallelujah. That is unbelief. Glory to God. That's the definition of unbelief. Unbelief is man's independence as, or man not depending on God. That's unbelief. Do you know what I mean? So that is what Paul is saying here. Hallelujah. So it's not God giving them up to lust. No. Do you understand? It is their lust that is sin. It is their sinful desires. Do you understand? It is their unbelief that is seen as God giving them up. But it's not God doing anything. Do you understand? Do you understand what we are discussing? Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, Pastor Shepherd will say, it is, you know, God's inactivity is being called, is being looked as if God is active, but it is not Him being active. Do you know that? It's God not being active. Man is active at that point, but it's not God. Do you know that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, you'll find it also in chapter 6, verse 12 of that same Romans, chapter 7, verse 7 to 8. That is negative. The word epithumia is used for a specific or fixed desire. A specific or a fixed desire. Or you put it like this, it's used for what is specific or fixed. Your mind on something that is specific or fixed. Like, for example, your mind. I think somebody whose mind has wandered away just looking at just a picture that is fixed desire. There is a fixed attention, a focused attention. Epithumia, a focused attention. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he said in James chapter 1, he says, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away, right? By his own desires, his own focused attention, right? Right? And enticed. That word enticed is the word delizo. Delizo. D-E-L-E-A-Z-O. Delizo. Now you need to listen well to me. It means to allow. It means to allow. To catch. Or I mean, to lure, sorry. Or to catch. Look at 2 Peter 2 verse 14. 2 Peter 2 verse 14. And 18. Look at verse 14. It said, having your eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable soul. They have a heart trained in covetous practice and are accursed children. Verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through or they lure or allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the one who have actually escaped from those who live in error. Very important. That word to allow is to, you know, when you say to bait something. To bait something. Hallelujah. And very important. When you use the word enticed, that word enticed, delizo, when the word enticed is used, It means to bait someone. Now, that word to bait, a man cannot bait himself. A man cannot bait himself. It is something external that will bait. Do you understand? You cannot bait yourself. No, is that possible? Do you understand? You cannot entice yourself. Something needs to trigger or need to cause you to get enticed. Do you understand? So it is, you cannot just entice yourself by yourself. Something needs to bait you, or a bait, something needs to bait you. You cannot bait yourself. Do you understand? I'm trying to use those words to explain themselves. So that shows you that this is not from the believer. It is not from the believer. Because a man cannot beat himself. So the desire for sin is not from the believer. We're going to see something shortly. Hallelujah. Desire for sin is not from the believer. That means that it takes something else or an information to make one have this desire. For this desire to come, it takes either an information or something else or someone. Are you hearing me? To make a believer have this desire. So to bait is an external work that needs an internal cooperation. So you need to accept it. Do you understand me? So that's why I say it takes someone or something else to make you have this desire. But for you to have this desire, you need to put your cooperation needs to come into it. Hallelujah. So, therefore, we say the same way persecution is external, the desire to sin is also external. So therefore, the desire to sin should be viewed as a persecution because they are both external. Do you understand? The same way you see someone coming against your belief, which is what we discussed mainly last week, that's persecution. The same way you see someone do that is the same way, and you see that external to test what is inside. The same way too, you should view that desire to sin as being external, to prove what is inside. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the same way too, you know your persecutor. I don't know if that grammar is correct today. I'm still looking for it. The same way you know your persecutor. The same way you know your persecutor is the same way you will know where this desire is coming from. You can know where this desire is coming from. When you're having strange desire, you can know. Don't say, sir, I don't know. You know! You know! Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know where it's coming from. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's quickly go to 1 Corinthians 10 again. We were there earlier on. We'll just go a bit further. Verses 11 into 13. Okay. No, let's just take verses 13. We'll come back to 11 and 12. Look at verse 13. He said, no temptation has overtaken you except such that is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He says that verse. He said, no temptation overtaking you except such as it's common to man. That word common to man is the word anthropinos. Anthropinos. It's a word you find in, you have to be fast now, in 1 Corinthians 2, 4, 2, 13, 4, 3.
He has used it before.
Anthropinos, common to man. He has used it before in 1 Corinthians.
Let's just see how he used it in that same 1 Corinthians. Now we understand the usage of the word. 1 Corinthians 2:4 says, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Holy Spirit." With the demonstration of the Spirit and power. Persuasive words of human wisdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In verse 13, he says, "The things we also speak, not in the words in which man's wisdom, man, teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual." He uses it for man. Chapter 4, verse 3, he says, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human count. By a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself." He uses the word human as anthropinos. You find it also in James 3 verse 7, 1 Peter 2:3. James 3:7, 1 Peter 2:13, sorry, Acts 17:25, Romans 16:19. When it uses the word anthropinos, it means belongs to man. Belongs to man. That is, you call it man-made. So when you say no temptation has overtaken thee except that which is common to man, it means temptations are man-made. You understand? Temptations are man-made. It's man-made. You remember last week we read Matthew 26, where we saw that temptation is from where? The flesh, right? From the flesh. Hallelujah. Man-made. Hallelujah. Man-made. So temptation is man-made, but we need your attention, or you need your cooperation for it to what? To happen. The desire to sin is man-made. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's man-made. So here also in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13, verse 13, Paul also exonerates God from temptation. Exonerates him from the one bringing temptation. He said, that is common to man, man-made. Do you understand me? Clears it out. It's not God. It's not God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 12. He says, "Therefore, let him that thinks he stand take heed, lest he falls." That word, "lest he falls," is the word pipto. Pipto. It implies to fall under. To fall under. So let him not take heed. Let him not think he stand, take heed lest he falls. What is Paul saying? What is Paul saying? Look at verse 11. So now let's understand what Paul is saying. No, he just showed us in verse 6 that these people, those in the wilderness, became an example to us that we should not do what? Lust after the things that they lusted after, right? Right? Nor become idolaters in verse 7, nor commit sexual immorality in verse 8, or tempt Christ, verse 10, nor complain, which is Momo, verse 11, and said, all these things happened to them as an example that, and were written for admonition, upon whom the ends of the age have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stand takes heed, lest he falls. He then said, no temptation. Did you see how he's taking it? Hallelujah. Did you see it? No temptation has taken a man, except such that is common to men. Do you understand me? Aha. That is from man. Do you understand? But God is faithful. So it tells you God. It says God is not the one. So he said, let's see first what is Paul saying. He said, this has become for us an example. Hallelujah. So Paul is saying a believer should not overrate his humanity. If not, you will fall under. Do not overrate your humanity. That means a believer must be vigilant, careful, cautious. A believer must be vigilant, careful, cautious in his believer's walk. Lack of carefulness is the reason why believers fall. Lack of carefulness. Be vigilant. Hallelujah. You can know where the temptation is coming from. So you need to be cautious. Very cautious. It's common to man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, let's go ahead. He says, common. So temptation is from men. It's from men. Hallelujah. So, can you see God is not involved, right? It's a man. And a believer needs to be cautious, right? Not overrate your humanity. To make sure you have that down. Okay, look at Matthew 16 quickly. Matthew 16. Before you get to Matthew 16, go to Matthew 4 verse 3. Let's see something. Matthew 4 verse 3. Who is the tempter? I mean, temptation is on whom? Man, right? That's who said, but I thought it was Satan. Calm down. Don't rush. We'll look at everything together. Hallelujah. That's where it's talking. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. He says, verse 4, verse 1. When Jesus was led up by the Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And the tempter came and said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. So, when he called, the tempter came. Now he refers to who? The devil. So, the devil is the tempter. But, listen, temptation is somewhere for man. But who is the tempter? The devil. Okay. Temptation is on man. The tempter is the devil. Okay. Let's see something. Let's take a typical example. Matthew 16. Let's see someone. Matthew 16. Verse 22. This is Brother Peter. Jesus was done praising Peter. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Then after which Jesus began to, verse 21, show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. You are rebuking your Lord. This shall not happen to you. Verse 23. And he told and said to him, said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. You are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Take note of that. He turned to Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. What did Jesus just do? He said, you are an offense to me. Scandalon. You are an offense to me. Now, watch this. It tells you that Satan can be seen in a man's words and actions. In a man's actions. So, Satan is veiled in man's actions.
So when you hear temptation is on man, it's because Satan can be seen in a man's action. Leave all those funny Dracula movies you have been watching. Some people are afraid of watching movies. People start shaking. People start to shake. Start to shake. I've seen Green Baby. How do you call that? Boom, boom, boom. He just thinks something will fall from the sky with two big horns. And there's a Nankari big fork. It's too much of Tom and Jerry that's worrying you. Hallelujah. You know, people get scared of several things. Say, Satan, Satan. Can we continue? Okay. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Satan is veiled in man's action. Don't expect to see one ghost just show up like Nigerian Hollywood and now open cutting. Bala! And you now run. You did not think ghost open cutting.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay.
So Satan is veiled in man's action or words. So Jesus was able to identify Satan in the word stroke actions of Peter. You understand me? Was able to identify Satan in those in Peter's action and his words. As subtle as Peter's words were, you think he loved you? I know you love me. But no, that was Satan speaking. He was yielding to the devil. Did you get that? He was yielding to the devil. Did you get that?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Look at Ephesians 2, verse 3. Verse 2 into 3. Ephesians 2, verse 2 into 3. He said, you made alive who were dead, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience. Where does the spirit walk? In the sons of disobedience. So Satan is veiled in man, in a man's action. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Satan can be located where? In the actions of men. Much more the man who did not believe. Much more the man who did not believe. Those of you who have been in one of the Father's ministry for a long time, you will know that I have always won. Never say you have a friend with somebody who is not a believer. Never, no matter how nice or kind that person is. Don't worry. Next year we will discuss how to keep the devil far from you. Next year, maybe towards August, we will discuss that too. Hallelujah. So you understand? Hallelujah. You cannot have unbelieving friends around you. You know what I mean by around you? You can have them at high and go, but around you that you share values with. And you say you are keeping the devil far from you. No, you are keeping it right in your breast pocket. Yes, now the devil is right in your breast pocket. You don't know. We'll get to see that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, he said, whom the God of this world has blinded their eyes. Do you understand me? So their actions will be the actions of will carry their actions will be veiling the actions of Satan. What is my grammar? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this is the reason why The scripture will warn believers to have no fellowship with the unbelievers. Say, what has light got to do with darkness? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The scriptures will warn believers rather not to walk in the flesh. Not to walk in the flesh. Galatians 5, verse 16. Warn believers not to walk in the flesh, rather. Because yielding to the flesh is yielding to its desires. Yielding to the flesh is yielding to its desires. And yielding to the devil. So Satan can never come to you outside a man. Satan can never come to you without a man. So stop all those paparazzi. Satan came to me like a bird. The world thing. Satan came to me. Hallelujah. Satan cannot come to you outside a man. Do you understand? A desire. The first sin recorded in the Bible was as a result of what? A desire. It was desire. Adam and Eve. It's a desire. It's desire. Was better out of desire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Satan never comes to you without a man. So when Jesus said offense, I said his word scandalon means to cause to sin. That is the word scandalon. I use that word. Offense. You are an offense to me. To cause to sin. So, Jesus spoke to Peter. What Jesus was telling Peter is that you want to cause me to sin. So, temptation is to make a man sin. Temptation makes a man sin. When he falls in. Hallelujah. So Satan cannot come to you without a man. So knowing that Satan cannot come to you without a man, it will help you view the temptation of Christ. The temptation of Christ, when you know that Satan cannot come to you without a man, automatically, you cannot view the temptation of Christ to not be what? But I thought it was Satan that came to me and said, if you are the Son of God, turn this bread to speak. Turn this stone to bread. How did it say stone? Bread to stone. Turn this stone to bread. Satan showed up. No. You know, it's not actually that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It was actually what the temptation of Christ will now be viewed as a summary of what Jesus went through in his earthly ministry. That doesn't matter. To be a son of what Jesus went through with earthly ministry. We'll get to see that in the coming months. Hallelujah. Yes. A long time. But we'll see it little by little. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because Satan cannot come to you outside a man. Do you understand? And, you know, that's whatever that said. Jesus was... You know, I've once said it, Jesus was just going like this, I'm hungry. Remember, a man cannot beat himself. Do you know that? So we're going to see a lot of things. Hallelujah. Man cannot beat himself. So therefore, the temptation of Jesus Christ, who was there with Jesus? Who was there with him? Were his disciples there? Were his disciples there? Jesus and the woman at the by the well. Who was there with him? He was the only one there, right? So therefore, he's the only one that could have given that story to them, right? Right? And possibly would have explained that story to them maybe when they were back or at his resurrection, right? Right? So he was the only one there at that temptation ground. So he was the only one that can explain what happened. Hallelujah. So you now look at how does Jesus explain scriptures. Do you understand? Very important. Glory to God. Let me just show us something quickly. Look at that Matthew 4. Fast to Matthew 4. Okay, look at verses 10. Are you in verse 10? Look at, put one hand there, put one hand in Matthew 16. What we just read, verse 23. I just want to show you that it's a summary. This, because of time, I have all those three temptations you saw there by the devil. We'll do that next week. Eh? I will show you from the scriptures, from events that happen afterwards, where those issues happen. Hallelujah. So that you will know that it's a summary that you have in chapter 4. Hallelujah. Look at that verse 10. This will be one part of the... Are you with me? Look at verse 10. And Jesus said to him, who? The devil, right? Right? Chapter 4, verse 10 now. Let me start from verse 9. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. And he said to him, away with you, Satan. Okay, let me read old King James. Get thee behind me, Satan, right? For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. Get thee behind me, Satan. Look at chapter 16, verse 23. And he turned and said to Peter, what? Does it not look as if it was similar event?
Yes,
eh? Right? It's similar event. So that temptation recorded in chapter 4 of Matthew, in Luke also, and Mark, listen, are a summary of all the temptations of Jesus. Look at that verse 11 of chapter 4. Oh, sorry. Let me go to Luke. Let's see Luke's account. Luke's account. Chapter 4. Luke 4. Verse 13. He said, now the devil had ended his temptation. He departed from him until an opportune time. Meaning, he departed from him for another time. Did you see that? So, he didn't tell you that was where it ended. The Satan kept coming. Do you understand me? And how was he coming? Through men. Do you understand me? So, are you listening? Are you with me? So that is like a summary of the temptations that he had all through his ministry. Are you listening to that? Hallelujah. So Satan kept coming. He didn't just come those 3 times and left. So he's gone. No, he kept coming. Hallelujah. And what did Jesus kept doing? He kept resisting him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Corinthians. Look at that verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 10. Where we were? He says there. He says, no temptation has overtaken you except that which is what? Man-made. Right? Right? Does that say, but God is faithful? God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. When he says God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, you know, so say, hey, God is there and God is not involved. Then does that mean? What it doesn't mean God controls it. Say God is the one, he will not make you know, you know, all those children church thing, Sunday school thing. He will not make you carry bucket that is bigger than your head. He said, even your mother, I want to give you bucket. He'll give you small bucket because you are small. No, it's not God controlling it. Rather, he says the believer has in him the ability to handle temptation when it comes. That's what he's saying. Say God is saying, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He may be able to endure it. So, the ability is the escape. The ability available to the believer is that escape there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, we're not allowed to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation, will make a way of escape. That is his ability in us. Did you get that? That escape is his ability in us. So, what does God do in temptation? Is that he has his ability in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His ability is in every believer to endure it, to bear it. So God will make you endure the temptation. That is ability. You know what I mean? That is why James said he works patient. That is the ability to bear it. You bear the temptation. Hallelujah. But that is a desire to sin or a persecution, you bear it. You are immovable. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? You are not moved. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So both persecution and the desire to sin produces patience. Take this down, I wrote something. Say, persecution happens without your desire, but external. Sin happens via focused attention and also external. Sin happens via focused attention. And also external. Your attention is fixed on it. So let's look at something. Jesus was also tempted, you know. We just saw that, right? Let's look at Hebrews 4. We just saw that now. Hebrews 4. Verse 15. It says, we do not have an high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need.
I want us to look at that. He says, when he says, we have an high priest who cannot, we do not have an high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are. That word, when he says, like as we are, according to the
Old King James, like as we are, is the word homo. Oh, B.
O H O M O I. That's what it is. H O M O I O T E T A. Homoyoteta. That is it. Somebody from Greek just catch me like this then.
Just give me name of an
ka.
And you say that language.
Okay. Implies the same way. Now that word, like as you are, implies the same way. Not dealing with the kind but method.
Yeah. Just was tempted to go and steal, he did not steal.
No, not the same that. He means was tempted the same way. Not with the kind of temptation, but with the method. Meaning he was persecuted. Right? And also, he had desires also. Jesus had desires. Just like you asked me, remember we've dealt with that here. When someone said, did Jesus sleep? No. In the night, Jesus disappeared and go to heaven. Does he used to go to toilet? No. Does not even bastard. He was telling us he was human. He lived as a man. The mother saw him cry. He cried as a baby. He poo-poo as a baby with poo. Do you understand?
Hey.
Some people are like, no, what is that? Yeah. Oscar, calm down. Hallelujah. He did. Hallelujah. So, Jesus was also tempted the same way.
Do you understand me?
The same method. Speaks of the same method, not the kind. Because these days we have different kinds of sins that are emanating from everywhere. But it's just the same method. Hallelujah. The similar, very funny desire that now coming. No, do you understand?
Someone said Jesus was
tempted with Jesus. Are you okay? He's not with the type of sin, but with the method. Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. Method. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Method. Meaning Jesus was tempted the same way as we are. He had persecutions and desires also. But he didn't focus on the desires. You know, the desires will come because you are a human being. You understand me? Because you be human, desire will come. But sin happened on focused attention. When you now focus your attention on that desire. Do you understand me? Remember, desires will come from where? Information or things else, right? Things that are, as long as you are amongst men, you will have desires. Desires will come. Do you understand me? Aha. Desires will come. They will surely come. There is a saying that says, the bird can fly over your head, but make sure it does not build its nest on your head, right? You cannot stop a bird from flying over your head. But you can stop the bird from building a nest on your head, right? Aha. Focus attention. So desires will come. But just like Jesus, the writer of Hebrews said, he was without sin. Meaning he did not focus on those desires. So having desires is not wrong. But focusing on it is what is wrong. Having desires is not a sin. But when you focus on those desires,
If a believer allows his attention to be taken away, he will do what the unbeliever will do.
So, both the believer and the unbeliever will have what? Desires. But when a believer now focuses his attention on those desires, especially in this social media age, you don't allow your attention to focus on those desires. Do you understand? You will do what the unbeliever will do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Paul, knowing this, that the believer can do what an unbeliever is doing.
You can.
He will now use the children of Israel as an example to warn believers, to admonish believers.
Hallelujah. He uses the word example. That is 1 Corinthians 10, 6 to 10, right? Example, to pose. To pose. 1 Corinthians 10, 6 to 10. We just read that. He said to pose. It implies something that can be replayed. To pose, an example.
Meaning what happened to them can happen to the believer if he focuses on his desires.
Hallelujah. Remember in verse 7 of that 1 Corinthians, let's see there, chapter 10. He told us what their desires were. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 7 says, do not become idolaters. That word idolaters is the word from the Hebrew. From the Greek, which implies what is worshipped or esteemed above God. What is worshipped or esteemed above God? What is worshipped or esteemed above God?
So the church at Corinth, which is a commercial hub, like major places in the world, the church at Corinth is a commercial hub. We did that, right? We had the study on the book of Corinth. Like a commercial hub. Idolatry can be intellectual. Anything that is placed above God can be intellectuals, money, etc. So idolatry implies to have a man-made God. A man-made God. When you begin to idolize, when you begin to place intellect above God. Hallelujah. Intellect above God, money. It's not necessarily restricted to a having Shango in your house. Though it's inclusive, but it's not limited to it. Hallelujah. It's not limited to it. When a man places money above God, listen, when he places intellect above God, he is actually into idol worship. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Very important. Glory to God. He said, nor let us commit fornication. That is the Greek word porneo.
Porneo. To have a sexual intercourse with who you are not made to have it with. He is also used figuratively to be with another which is not God. He's used figuratively too. To be with someone else who is not God. Or to be with something else. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He now said, no, let us tempt Christ. That word tempt there, the word ekpirazo. E-K-P-E-R-A-Z-O, ekpirazo. That word ekpirazo means to pressure to do what is not to do. To pressure one to do what he is not supposed to do. To push beyond boundaries. To push beyond boundaries.
Look at Matthew 4 again. That word ekpirazo. Matthew 4, verse 7.
Jesus used that word ekpirazo. He said, "You shall. It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. You shall not tempt the Lord your God to pressure to do what he's not supposed to do."
So when Jesus said to the devil, to Satan, which we have just said now, it varies in man, right? Right? You shall not tempt the Lord your God. That means you shall not pressure him, do not pressure me to do what I'm not supposed to. Right? Right? Okay. Let's see something.
Look at Luke 10:25. Something very similar. That might look like when they come to tempt him to do or to hear him say what he's not supposed to say. Or to do what he's not supposed to do. You know, at some point they came to tempt him. They came to make him do what he wanted. You know, we not just do it. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Look at Luke 10:25. He said, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him to pressure to do what he's not supposed to do, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I do?" Very cunning. You know that name? Very cunning. Hallelujah. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that is the word ekpirazo, to pressure one to do what he's not supposed to do. And that verse 9 of 1 Corinthians said they tempted him. Right? Right? They tested him. So, how did they test him? What did they prove? Remember, God cannot be proven to be evil. So, they proved his faithfulness. They proved and they saw that God is faithful. How is the faithfulness saying that Christ came, died, and is out, and he rose again? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because that is what he has been telling them. From where? Egypt. Did you get that? Aha. Glory to God. So in verse 10, I said, let us not murmur or complain, right? That word to murmur is to make mockery sound, to speak in a tone of discontent. In a tone of discontent. Let us not murmur. Let's not speak. Tone of discontent. Verse 11. Now this thing happened to them as examples, that and they were written for our admonition, notessia. Admonition, notessia, meaning our warning. Upon whom the ends of the earth have come. He said, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he falls. The word take heed implies to pay attention devotedly. Devotedly. Do not overrate your humanity. So you must pay attention devotedly.
Pay attention devotedly. Temptation comes from man, it's not from God. Hallelujah. It's not from God. The desire to sin is lured from information, people you have around you, and what you see, what you hear. You know, it's crazy to see, you know, one thing, you cannot be in Word and Father's ministry, and you listen to both secular music, you have it in your phone. You know what I mean by you cannot be a leader, right? Or pastor who's has it changed? Cannot be a leader and one of God is in your phone and circular music is placed in your phone. Is it possible? Cannot be a leader here. I remember years back. See, let me tell you guys something.
I love reggae music. Anybody that knows me knows that, right? You don't know. By the way, you know, right? Ah. Jesus. Do you know that?
Aha.
Do you know that? Love reggae music. Much more bujubante. Bujubante. Love bujubante. Let us end it there. To me, he's the best, greatest rapper of the world. But you know the funny thing? Listen, in my laptop, I mean, my desktop there, you don't have, you must see, Buju. Buju. Even if you play Buju Bati song today, I will sing it. Because I can sing it well. I know the lyrics well. Now, the time I did a competition with somebody, that I would sing the whole foot track of Bomani. That's the competition. I knew all the lyrics of Bomani. No one. So I know it very well. But you know the funny thing? One day I just sat at home and I was just looking at this whole thing. Looking at it. You know? How are you going to do? On my desktop. And it's there. And that place where it is on my desktop, I have PC study Bible. I just looked at it one day. You know, there's only you type delete. You go and pick it back from the cycle B. And when you put your hand on shift, delete, it is forever. Just see my hand there, and I deleted it. There is a deleted it. You must understand something. See, when I deleted it, it depends you, but it never still stopped me from still humming it sometimes. But I have to do something, I have to discipline myself sometimes, because then I was listening to it every second. If you want to know, I'm back from school in Block T3. Just because as I'm coming back, I'm getting to a jota, I'm buying CDs. I'm back. Hallelujah. But I got to take it off. And now those are the days, you know, I have to do that. And come on. You cannot get work with us and work with me and then you still be. You can meet that. Hallelujah. You can meet that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you can actually locate where those desires are coming from as a believer. You know, there are some people that, okay, the reason why I said that was because of this, before I get to telling us the next one, is on the fact that there are some believers that will tell you, don't worry, I can manage the two. You know what, getting to a man that divides the mind, don't be deceiving yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some believers have caught up themselves with strange desires. Much more in the social media era, where everything is on top of the internet, just by just sleeping and waking up. You know, to sin is not easy. Everything is on the internet. Hallelujah. Just one click away. The same way what the balance ministry dot com is one click away. But you not click that one. It's 2 hours message. Just one sharp one, 2 minutes on. Big body. So yeah. See yourself. 2 minutes on. What are you doing? Zan. See yourself. See yourself. Which other one again? I saw one today, Zamu. Hallelujah. So you cannot have those two. Glory to God. You know, sometimes I'm in the mood to just listen to R. Kelly, to whiskey. Don't worry, very soon you still be in the mood to listen to Satan. Don't worry. Just calm down. I'm in the mood to listen to Justin Bieber. Calm down. It's little by little.
Do not overrate your humanity. That is what Paul is saying. Paul, don't overrate your humanity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those are past that level. I cannot have bros. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can actually know. You can locate it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can locate it. The next thing, you are now substituting. You are not substituting praying time for gisting time. You can locate it and stop it. Yes, now. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as long as you are in the flesh, persecutions, trials, temptations will come. You will have desires, but you must never allow your desires to stay. Never allow desires to stay. So when your desires come, you know, when your desires come, you must, okay, Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. That word meditate is the word Hagar. So write day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Only then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. So then, the believer must have the word of God in his or her mouth continually. We have a message a long time ago. I don't think I'm still going to review for that message. But it's inside the desktop that is with Pastor Femi. Did you? Is that a message? Is a message that is a long, very old message. It's titled Your Response. Right? Pastor Gabriel. Now give me that message. How to respond. How to respond. You don't respond to a negative thoughts, a negative desire by sitting down and being quiet. No! You don't respond that way. You don't let I will replace it with good thoughts. Are you fine? Thoughts cannot be replaced with thoughts. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You speak the word. Hallelujah. You speak the word. Learn to put the word of God in your mouth. Always. Continually. Put the word of God in your mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You when your desires come, they will come, but you replace it with the word of God. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. I don't give heed to the devil. I don't give heed to sin. Glory to God. You just make sure the word of God is always on your lips. Always on your lips. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They don't be walking and those that I'm born of God. I'm born of God. I'm born of God. Glory to God. You know? Glory to God. I said that one day and a woman came to me and said, my son. You know, she didn't even hear what I said. Funny enough, because you know, born of God. So whether that was those people that looked as if they wanted to take themselves to Yabalet. Hallelujah. You know, calm down, calm down. I've not gotten to that stage. Hallelujah. I start doing my left. I know that she would have. She know what she would do. Eh? She just said, this guy's case has gone. Do you remember when she left? I know that it's glory to God. Then I just be like, you don't know fast number. Listen, because we were looking for when we say, yes, yes, we have staggering opposition. That's happened. Staggering opposition. So. Glory to God. So please, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 13, Paul tells us, evil communication corrupt good manners. Evil communication corrupt good manners.
Evil communication. Corrupt good manners. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as a child of God. Sorry, 33. Yeah, there's a mistake.
1 Corinthians 15:33. Now, evil communication corrupts good manners. As a believer, you watch your company. You watch your company. Who you hang around with. Whose words stay much more within you. Most times our company goes beyond who we see. It goes even to what we watch. It goes into what we watch. Hallelujah. When a believer begins to have strange character, strange approach, you can direct it to somewhere. You can know where it's coming from. Except you just want to deny the fact. Do you understand me? You can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can and just stop it. Just stop it. If you stop watching the program, it does not mean your eyes will close now. Glory to God. So just stop it. Some people, they have ruined their relationship with people because of what they watch on TV. Do you know that? Because of what you want to do. So evil communication corrupt good manners. Even some people, as a minister, what do you even listen to? What you listen to? You have to watch it. There are years I stopped listening to. For years, I stopped listening to messages over the TV, all those on-air programs that they will do for 15 minutes. Now sit down. Go off track. Yeah. Some pastors, some believers get some information over even the internet. Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, Kigo, WhatsApp, everything. There are people, yes, evil communication corrupt good manners. Hallelujah. Very important. In Romans chapter 12, as we round up, Romans chapter 12, from verse 1 to verse 2. Offer up your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing. He says, be not conformed to this world. The version will say, do not allow the world system, I mean, not allow the world squeeze you through its mode of operation. Do not allow the world squeeze you to its mode of thinking. Do not allow the word squeeze you. Do not allow the word squeeze you to its mode of doing things. Hallelujah. 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 In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where we're reading verse 14, I left that for now. Paul admonishes us, verse 14. Chapter 10, verse 14. He says, therefore, my beloved, you know, after speaking about all these things, let him that in his hand take it, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken a man except that which is common to man. But God is faithful, verse 13, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation also make a way of escape, which is his ability, that you may be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourself what I say. So, we are admonished to flee. And how do we flee as believers? When you hear Paul say, flee to the church at Corinth, what is he implying? Flee. It just means
walk in the Spirit.
That's what it means.
Walk in the Spirit. We flee by walking in the Spirit. Hallelujah. We flee by walking in the Spirit. All the time. All the time. A believer, see, listen to me. A believer full of the Holy Ghost can yield to the devil. A believer full of the Holy Ghost can yield to the devil. Hallelujah. Can yield to the devil. So every time a believer must be in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. I mean, what I mean is, be in the Spirit will mean a believer must walk in the Spirit all the time. To yield to the flesh is to yield to the devil. So you don't yield to the flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't yield to the flesh. Just put the word of God in your mouth always. Speak in tongues always. You don't need to be in a prayer. You don't need to have a prayer time before you speak in tongues. Just speak in tongues always. Hallelujah. You know, there's this thing that I used to say, and I used to do it, and I used to tell myself that. I make sure I don't speak in English in a day more than why I speak in tongues. You could also do that. Hallelujah. You could also do that. You speak in tongues more. More. Hallelujah. When there's nothing to say, when you feel like you can just mutter tongues. Hallelujah. Just be in the Spirit always. Just walk in the Spirit always. Hallelujah. Just walk in the Spirit always. Just do. Just speak in tongues always. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, very, very vigilant. Be vigilant. Don't overrate your humanity. Hallelujah. Have you learned something?